About 10 years ago, Homa Dashitake was laid off from her dream job, and she was not in a good place. Her father was dealing with the death of his brother, and basically to keep themselves preoccupied so they wouldn't dwell on their sadness, they started making yogurt together. They strained it so it was thick and rich, and that yogurt became the basis for Homa's company, White Mustache. It's become a cult favorite with magazines like Bon Appetit singing its praises. While White Mustache was going supersonic with stores lining up to carry it, Homa realized that she didn't feel totally great about all her success. Because the more yogurt she made, the more she just kept thinking about the byproduct, the liquid whey that she was pouring down the drain. The yogurt whey is a tangy, nutritious, probiotic liquid that people use all around the world, apparently, except for here. So she decided to stop growing her company until she could figure out a way to sell the whey. And it's become more complicated than she ever realized it would be. We visited her, we went into her factory, inside the room where the magic happens, where the cultures turn milk into yogurt. So Homa, thank you so much for having us on White Mustache.
My pleasure, thanks for coming.
We are in your vat room. Mm-hmm. And so what we look at here are these two vats. They're 80 gallons each?
Yeah, they're 80 gallons each. And while they may seem enormous, you have the option of going up to 200 gallon batch or like larger. And I've chosen to have two going because like this is my max size that I'm gonna operate at.
Yeah.
Because I think that yogurt tastes different when there's like more probiotics or they have like a bigger like space to like
To grow in.
Yeah. I think there's like some dry tanniny thing that happens in your mouth actually. So this room is built to make many small batches, which is kind of our business model, I guess, or our MO.
Yeah. How did you get into making yogurt?
Totally by accident. Like I was an attorney, I got laid off, and then I'm such a cliche, and then I tried to like find myself, and it's like a very boring story. But then like, I started making yogurt because it's the one thing like my dad always did at home that I took for granted and I didn't even value. Mm. And we just found ourselves at a place in life where we were both bored. I was unemployed. I was living with my parents at like 30-something. It was like pathetic. Mm. And I was like, let's just go to farmers markets and like do this and like have a way to spend time. Me and my dad are like quite close. And it wasn't supposed to be a business. And then like when people tried our yogurt at the farmers markets, like, their reaction was as if they'd never tried yogurt before. And this isn't something I like tried to go after or tried to create. Yeah. It's literally something I'd ignored my whole life. And my idea of success was like a very typical American idea of success. It was like to be a lawyer, to do well, to get into a good firm, to make money.
Sure.
And I had done all those things. And yet, like, you know, the irony is like this one part of my heritage that I ignored forever has actually given me the most amount of happiness and success. And like, it was all by accident, by trying to go to farmers markets and like hang out with my dad and like flirt with some boys. And like, that was the goal. And like our first farmers market, we made 12 bucks. And I was like, I think we're on to something here. It was totally by accident and very lucky.
And then I know there were some trials and tribulations. You had to move from California to New York because of regulatory issues, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
But I remember when I first saw White Mustache yogurt here.
Uh-huh.
And I can't even say that it was I saw it. I heard about it because people were yelling at me. But I was like, oh my God, you have to try this yogurt. It's amazing. And it seemed like you were exploding. We could find your yogurt in fancy stores and then more stores around the city. But then you kind of decide to stop growing the business.
Yeah.
Why?
Many reasons. One was that growth trajectory that you just like explained was like a miracle. The fact that we were in existence was a miracle after all our trials and tribulations. The fact that like we're making this product that like to me feels like a miracle. And then like we're growing store after store after store all through word of mouth. Like I just felt very humbled by that in a way I've never felt humbled by anything before. Like I was like, this is bigger than me and it's not even about me. And like my only job is to take care of this thing. And
so take care of the milk,
even the brand was named after my dad and like our heritage, which has informed how we make all of this. And like the cows that give us the milk, that give us this stuff. And when you're making yogurt in these relatively small batches and you're straining it and you have that pan of whey, and there's nowhere to put it, like it feels weird. It feels wrong. And traditionally we just drank it because there really isn't that much. Like you said, when you make it at home, you have a little bit and you either incorporate it right back in, you throw it out, or like we just would like shoot it because it was just like a nice refreshing little shot of yogurt water. Like, but now we're swimming in it as a company, you know? And it's like, what do you do with it? And I really thought I was like onto something. I was like, I'm just gonna put it in a bottle and like slap a label on here that says it's whey. And like, people are gonna love it. It's gonna be like the new Gatorade. And it was just like crickets, like radio silence, like no response. And like we were so spoiled with the success of our yogurt that I was like, no, this is a thing. And you know, we had hit capacity and I was like, okay, I can either grow more or I can dedicate the resources that we have back into the whey. And because our existence is so unique and the way White Mustache came into being feels very unique and very lucky, that I feel like we're more of an advocacy kind of company than a food company. And so in 2014, we capped our own production and we dedicated all our resources to finding a market for the whey. So then I realized the plain whey wasn't doing it, so I made flavored whey, which I mix it with just natural fruit juices. And then we just launched a line of popsicles last year as well, that just like is whey and fresh fruit.
But meanwhile, people are still like trying to pound down your door for more yogurt, right? Like, yeah. I'm standing in the vat room. There's clearly space for more vats in the vat room.
Yeah, but like that means more whey.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's my hurry? Like if I just take my time and figure this out, A, I really have solved like an amazing problem, but also like to me, it doesn't seem like a problem. It's just like, hey everybody, I've got this really cool thing and like somebody needs to figure out what to do with it because it's gonna be awesome. And I don't think it's gonna be me. Like my job is just to make yogurt here.
But what's the deal with whey? Why does it matter to you? Like why would you not just pour it down the drain?
Because it's still milk and there was such a process to get to it. I had to make the yogurt and then strain it. And then I have this like what I think of like a golden elixir. Like, it's water that was filtered through the grass, that was then filtered through the cow, that was then filtered through yogurt making.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you can get this. Like, probiotic rich, full of calcium, vitamins, no calories, no fat, nothing. And I'm just like, huh. Yeah. It's like, you know, I just think it's like the most special part of this whole process.
Can we taste the whey?
Yeah, please. Here is the plain whey straight up.
Okay. So it's almost, like you said, it's almost Gatorade looking.
Yep. Almost Gatorade looking.
Not quite as garish as Gatorade, but it's got a unique yellowish tint. Okay, here we go. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm a fan of plain yogurt, like on food and stuff. And so much of what I think of the flavor of yogurt, it's like purely crystallized in this way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't taste fatty, it doesn't taste sweet, but like the thing that makes the yogurt tangy, the thing that makes the yogurt feel like it has character, it's like purely crystallized in this drink.
But I think you've also managed to articulate why it doesn't resonate, because it's missed, like when you call it yogurt, the association is creamy.
Creaminess, yeah.
And it still has like a dairy mouthfeel to it.
It's not like
water. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a body to it for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's tangy, it's sour, but it's not like sharp and piercing. It's not like lemon juice.
Right.
You know, it still has like a smoothness to it.
Right.
Ooh, I like it. And I see the label, it doesn't say whey.
Right.
It says probiotic tonic.
Right. Feel terrible about that, actually. I do. I feel like I'm just like my mom when she was like trying to make me eat like liver and she like covered it up with like sauce. Also, like, do you not see my desperation like screaming through all this? Like, this is so good. Like,
call me whatever you want to. Yeah, just take me.
Yeah. Call me. Totally desperate. And so this is, you know, this is the idea in making it more familiar, making it more accessible.
Yeah.
And it's funny, this is a total tangent, but like as an immigrant,
I'm kind of also a little resentful to that process because I'm like, I don't want to make myself familiar to you. I don't want to make myself accessible to you. Like, this is who I am. I'm this weird, unaccessible, unfamiliar thing. Like, that's just who I am.
Yeah, let me be me.
Let me be me.
And come
and
see
and like
what
try
I'm
it.
Worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's why I was a little resistant to that. And then I was like, oh, I'm gonna snap out of it. Like, get accessible. Like, don't be weird. Don't like get all like French existential about this. Like, you know. And then we came up with a line of popsicles, yeah. And we're using like the sour cherry juice from our leftover preserves to mix with the whey popsicles.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, like the idea of the popsicles is entirely like salvage oriented, and you know, like. Whereas like White Mustache gets its reputation for being in these beautiful glass jars, like this was thought out because of like I was trying to be environmentally sound, yes, but it's also being kind of cheap because like what's more recyclable than taking this jar back and like steam cleaning it and reusing it? Like I can actually recycle this stuff. And that went into the idea of the popsicles too, because we wrap them in these like nostalgic like tubes, which might seem counterintuitive because it's not very like gourmet oriented, but like it uses almost like 50% less plastic than a traditional popsicle does that you have to wrap up and package and stuff.
Right.
So like those are things that we try to do and that inform like our entire kind of product line.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting, and it's exhausting like to explain, but it's also exhausting because you just get it wrong so many times, you know,
sure.
Like we're still putting our popsicles in a plastic tube, you know, like that doesn't
sure.
make it full. Our caps are made out of plastic. There's so much energy that goes into like pressing one mold of glass, you know, like you just, like these thoughts are almost like paralyzing.
Sure.
But we've, you know, I think we've done really good work in terms of just getting ourselves out there. Like it hasn't translated into sales, it hasn't translated into like a market for the whey or even other yogurt companies doing it. But I just think something like this does take time, and I'm willing to like give it that. So we've moved this process along about as slowly as it takes to make us a batch of yogurt. So.
Thank you, Homa. This is amazing.
Thank you so much for coming.
Homa Dashtaki is the founder of White Mustache.